Hi, Alexis. Is it okay?
Yeah, hiya.
Hi, yeah. My name's Aaron. I'm part of the investigation team here at MMA Legal. I was just giving you a call, as obviously stated in the WhatsApp. It's just in regards to your Scottish redress application.
Yeah.
Okay. So just to confirm, your password is Rex?
Yeah.
Okay. And these calls are recorded for training and monitoring purposes?
No problem.
Okay. Just for data protection as well, Alexis, can you confirm your address for me, please?
Yeah, it's 11 Scarfell Court, on that.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I've not long just finished speaking to your sister, Laura, and progressed their case, and then obviously I was educated to obviously know, understand that yourself and your brother as well,
Yeah, my other
gone through a
sister Helen.
claim. Yeah. So I'm obviously, yeah, I'm happy to help you all. Yeah, I'm going to be the case handler for you all, really. So it's actually quite exciting for me. So yeah, so all I'm here to do is obviously I know that you've given your statements to Billy two weeks or so ago. I've read over your statements and stuff, and all I'm here to do is I'm just here to educate myself on how your care settings did affect you and if they do still affect you. You know, what you may be doing to, you know, mask any pain, anything like that. Just get a full understanding so I can represent you the best way that I can and build the biggest case that I can for yourself.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm just going to start off by asking a series of questions, obviously just gathering some general knowledge about yourself and stuff. Do you currently deal with any mental health issues at the minute?
Yeah, I've recently, well, I got diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, but it was for 10 years, but it was the wrong diagnosis. So I've literally just been re-diagnosed with complex PTSD.
Yeah.
And obviously anxiety and depression.
Okay. And are you currently taking medication for anything?
I am, yeah. I take sertraline
Okay. Okay, and how long would you say you've been dealing with this for?
Panadol. To be honest with you, I don't remember a time of life when I wasn't depressed. I went through CAMHS when I was younger, and then it just continued on from there, to be honest.
Okay, fair enough. So would you say at least 20 years?
Yeah, I'd say maybe more. I'm 32 now, so maybe like I think I had counsellors in school and stuff as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe about 20 from treatment.
Okay. Okay. And do you drink any alcohol or take any recreational drugs at all?
I don't drink, and I've just stopped taking. I've smoked cannabis for 20 years, but I'm just coming off it.
Yeah. No, fair enough. How are you finding that with obviously like sleep and stuff like that? Because I know that it's
It's awful. The dreams are terrible. Like I've been quit like 5 months now. I just done it cold turkey, and
Yeah.
I come. Well, as you say, it's like masking, and not since then. Like I've noticed how much like I cry, because my brother said it's because I've used weed and drink to like mask it all my life, and now like I feel things that I've never felt before, really.
Yeah, no. To be honest, Alexis, yeah, I completely understand that. Obviously, I'm human myself. You know, I've probably been off it now about 6 months myself. Been pretty well. I've done the same as you, cold turkey. That's exactly why I was smoking it. I had vivid nightmares and stuff like that. I've gone through counseling. I've gone through depression, anxiety, PTSD myself. From things that have happened to me. So I understand that, and obviously that's why it's good to have this kind of knowledge to understand, someone like yourself on why you do it as well, or did do it, shall I say now. But no, good on you. It does take a lot of confidence to come off it, and obviously understanding and feeling your feelings. Like I fully do get it's not easy. It's really not, and it's easy to just obviously, have a joint and just carry on with your day.
Yeah.
But coming from the other side of it now, I can obviously say to yourself as well, it's it's a lot of confidence to deal with your emotions, but good on you for taking them on. Do you know what I mean? I know it's easy, as I said, it's easy to just mask it and just get on with your day, but taking on your own emotions and being able to deal with it. I don't like using the word sober, because you're not exactly like anything else other than sober, even when you do have a drink, do you know what I mean? But
yeah.
Dealing with it alone, with your own mind and mentality, it does take a lot. So well done to yourself for doing that.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, that's not a problem. So you said there was around about, what was it, 5 months, was it, that you've been off the cannabis now? Okay, client doesn't drink any alcohol, and no longer takes recreational drugs. Stopped. I can't even spell this one. Stopped smoking cannabis 5 months ago. Okay, and one question that I unfortunately do have to ask you, it's just so I can gather the best knowledge I can about yourself, is have you ever tried to self-harm or take your own life at all?
I self-harm, yeah. I haven't tried to kill myself, but I do self-harm.
Do you still currently self-harm, yeah?
Sometimes, like, more recently now, like, it stopped for a while, but obviously with them coming off weed and stuff. But I've got a daughter, so like, I never want her to see, so it's like...
Yeah.
So I usually just cut my legs so I'm not giving to them.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Okay. Well, can I ask why like when it comes to them moments, why do you feel that's an option for you? Like, what is it that draws you to that?
I think it's because it's physical pain rather than like mental pain.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's a release for yourself, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate your honesty with it, thank you. As I said, it does take a lot, and I said a similar thing to your sister before. You know, she opened up quite a lot to me, and all I can say from a claim handler perspective is the more you're honest with me and open up to me, the more of a case I can build for yourself to then present this to the Scottish Government. So, yeah. Thank you. It obviously, it does take a lot. When I'm sorry, why is airport And when speaking to your doctors and stuff, have you told your doctors that you're still self-harming or anything?
Yeah,
so they're...
Yeah, I've had counsellors for a long, long time as well. They've just... Where we live isn't very good for mental health, so they've literally just cut me off.
Yeah.
Because I've stopped smoking weed, and they said I'm not as angry anymore, but since not being angry, I'm a lot more depressed.
Yeah, no, I get that. Okay. And do you have any hobbies or anything?
I like cooking, that's about it. I don't really like people, to be honest, with anything that's like, there's no people.
Yeah. Would, like, do you drive?
No.
Okay, is there any, like, you know, local parks, anything near you?
Yeah, I love walking my dogs, that's what I like walking my dogs and just cooking for people.
Yeah, no, fair enough. What is it that you cook?
Everything. I always cook for my sister. She's
a family
for me, so she can't cook, so I always cook for her.
Fair enough. Did you bake or anything?
Yeah, I love baking and stuff.
Love baking. Don't mind a good cake being baked, you know. I really am. I'm a sucker for a cake. A really good, sweet, like, caramel cake. I love it. Or a cheesecake. Okay, so a client have made doctors aware. Yeah, self-harming. And so are you under any counselling at the minute, or is that all finished?
No, I've literally just finished in February.
Okay.
Because they basically said there's not enough funding to keep me on, and like, I've been under them for such a long time, it's like, I think they can't see me forever, and they agree, like, it's just one of the, I think I've just got to the point where I know I'm depressed, and I know it's something that I'm just going to have to deal with, to be honest. So I just kind of like wing it now.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Okay. When walking your dogs and stuff, do you have your earphones in? Do you have music on and stuff?
Yeah, I never go anywhere without earphones in. Like, usually my sister, like, if I only really go out with my sister, because, like, I just, as I say, I don't really like people, so if I do my shopping, like, my sister takes me, but when I've got the dogs, I feel like it's something else for me to concentrate on, so just stick my earphones in and taking them out. It's, like, helps me actually get out of there. But,
Yeah, no, I understand that. Obviously, it's good for the mind, isn't it? Obviously, getting some fresh air. Just trying to think. Obviously, I'm no mental health expert, of course. But just obviously, I know what it's like to be depressed and have like limited things around and stuff. But yeah, just as long as you get out and you know, you as you said, you walk the dog, you occupy your mind. That's the biggest thing that can get over depression. You know, obviously, besides your medication, besides your counselling, you know, just doing something for yourself. And obviously, you don't need people around, but doing something for yourself that you feel, you know, can take your mind off it is a very good thing. And you probably can solve that in your counselling as well. But obviously, it's always good to get told not from a counsellor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
Because obviously, as well as keeping myself professional and stuff, I don't like to keep to the book as much. You know what I mean? I want to relate to yourselves and put me on past experiences into these situations and make you aware that I'm not just sort of behind the phone. I'm someone who's been through similar or you know similar emotions to yourself. Like I'm human as well. Do you know what I mean? So I can understand it. It can get hard in some places, like.
Yeah. But I think it's a lot better when people don't really be, like, they're professional because with growing up in care and stuff, like, I don't really, like, professional people kind of put me off because I think, God, you don't really care. Like, you're just ticking boxes and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, some people, like, you, like, shoot when I was just talking rather than just being, signing me off, things up.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that from yourself. Obviously, it's what I aim to do, so at least some clients are recognising it, so thank you.
Definitely.
Okay, and sorry, Alexa, do you want me to call you Alexa or Lexi? I can see Lexi's
Lexi. Yeah,
all right, no worries. Lexi, can I grab your GP details, please, if you don't mind?
Yeah, it's Loudon Medical Centre.
Loudon?
Yeah.
So, yeah, let me just go back up and that'll probably be my search history here.
I think it's Castle Meadows. I'm not sure where the boss is.
Oh, yeah, Louder, yeah. And how long have you been at Louder for?
Since I was 13, so about... Oh, I don't know. Like 21 now, I think it is.
Yep, no, fair enough. Okay. Okay. So, just I've got my, thank you for your medical records. Sorry, your medical centre there. Moving on to your care settings. Just so I've got a kind of more better and relatable understanding to yourself, was you and Laura in near enough the same care settings?
Kind of, but she's a lot older than me, so when she left the foster parents, I stayed there, and then I went into Stephen parents after that.
Yeah, so, I can see that there. Okay.
So we were in the first one, Drake Horn, and then the foster carers together, and then after that, they're separate.
Yeah, okay. Right, so I just go through these with yourself now, just so we can kind of get the understanding of the local authorities that were in control of you at the time, so we can request the records from them. Dread Horn... Children's Home. Okay, and how long were you at Dread Horn for?
About 3 years. I think it was nearly 3 years.
3 years, okay. here for 3 years. Okay, and did you went in with Margaret and Gordon then, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. And then went... That's Margaret Reeves and Gordon Campbell, that's it, yeah. At least my memory's working.
I'll never forget them, the fucking out of them.
Yeah, yeah, Laura was saying it wasn't the nicest with them.
Oh no, they were vile.
Yeah. Was you with them for a couple of months, was it?
No, I was with them, Laura was with them a couple of months, I was with them a couple of years. When my sisters and that left, basically, the social worker asked me where I wanted to go, and I was 10, and I didn't want to go back into a children's home, so
yeah.
I just said that I wanted to stay there. But, like, I was saying to Billy, like, I don't think that was something that, like, was my choice, kind of. I think it should have been taken from me, considering what my brother and my sister said to school. I think that, like, I should have been removed, but I just don't think we could have always.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. It's a bit of a messy situation, isn't it? Especially when you can't be in control of your own thing.
No.
No, because the way the care system was, obviously it's a lot of like unsettling environment, isn't it? And then you're getting moved around, you know, you're getting put with people you don't feel like you have a relationship with. Okay, and then moving on to Seaton House, is that?
Seaton Terrace.
It's coming up as a... No, it's not a nursery. It's not a nursery.
Oh, it's not even there anymore. They've turned it into old people home. So not... They shut it down pretty quick.
Okay, but that was that in Glasgow, was it?
No, it was in Irvine. Not there, so.
Yeah. Okay, so I can see here you might have been in Seaton Terrace for around 4 years, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so you've got the 3 care settings. Is that right? Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, not a problem.
Well, there was 4, but obviously the other ones were nice, so we didn't put them down.
Yeah. Was that the same as Laura? Was it?
Yeah,
it's all right. Yeah, she said just went to a nice set of parents and that was probably the nicest time out of it all.
Yeah, well, we thought we would stay with them forever, but obviously he died of cancer, so it can't really help.
Yeah, no, it's unfortunate that. Okay, Lexi, so when we do request for your medical records and your care setting records, when they come back to ourselves, would you like me to share them with you?
I've got them. I've already got all mine. I got them a couple of years back, but I've never been able to read them. I actually tried to burn them, and they didn't burn. Like, they were like a ritual thing, and they wouldn't burn. And then my brother said to me, maybe there's something in there one day that you need to see. So they're all in my loft.
Yeah, okay. Clients has got her own records. Okay, so when we receive our records then back on yourself, Would you want to go through them with ourselves just so we can cross reference anything, you know?
If need be, that I don't mind. But like I think Billy had said as well, there were certain things that were redacted that probably wouldn't be redacted in your own things because it's obviously more legal. So
yeah.
I'm not sure. Like, I just don't want to fit to fall them off and work like wounds again. But if there's anything needs for reference, I don't mind.
Yeah. Listen, it's entirely your choice, to your record, you know what I mean? I don't want to pressure you into anything. If you don't want to go over them, it's completely fine. If you want to just keep them locked away, it's entirely your choice. We just obviously got the right to ask, because they're yours, they're not ours, really. So,
yeah.
If you tell me, if you don't want us to go through them with you, it's absolutely fine.
Nah, I'm all right, to be honest. I don't really want to open that.
Yeah. Of course, that is completely understandable. I get that. Client has got their own records, but wouldn't like to go over them with ourselves. Okay, Lexi. So that's the information side of things that I need from yourself, which thank you very much for sharing all that with me. Just to let you know now, obviously, this journey that you and I are about to embark on, this is around about a 6 to 12 month journey. Throughout this process, I'll be giving you a call every around about 4 to 5 weeks with an update on your case and how we're travelling. This case does get put forward to an independent panel in the Scottish Government. The best part about it, you or I don't have to attend this hearing once it does commence. But what I will be doing is updating you of the date of when I'm going to be looking at your case, or
yeah,
coming to the conclusion of your case, and then also, yeah, I'll be letting you know the results of it all as well. What we do like to fight for as a law firm is first and foremost an official recognised apology from the Scottish Government for how you've been treated in your care settings, but also get some financial compensation for yourself that's rightly deserved.
Yeah.
As I said, this is all done behind closed doors. There's no stress in regards to getting anywhere. What I would like to do just before I do conclude this phone call is I just do need to go back one step and just go over the legal fees. Or the funding options for yourself, shall I say. Billy would have said this to you around about 2 weeks ago, so I do apologise that it is getting repeated again, but this is just for my compliance kind of things. Once this is done, I'll formally ask you if you would like to proceed with ourselves moving forward. Once I've done that, you'd be good to go and enjoy a nice Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, no problem, yeah.
No worries, thanks Lexi. So yeah, Lexi, when it comes to the Scottish Redress application, you do have three options. Option one is that you can apply to do this application yourself without a law firm or solicitor representing you, and that's just you obviously gathering your own evidence and presenting your own case to the Scottish Government. Option two is that you can instruct a different law firm or solicitor in England or Scotland who participate in the government legal fee scheme, where they are awarded £2,000 for your case. And that's obviously whether you win, draw or lose the case. That's obviously the figure that they've got for you. But they obviously don't charge any fees. But with option three, being ourselves, we work as a no-win, no-fee law firm. So obviously for whatever reason, if the result doesn't go our way, we won't come and chase you for any fees or put that financial stress or burden on you. We are covered our end. Our percentage is 16% plus VAT, which is 19.2%, and that is a capped figure. So it doesn't matter the compensation that you do end up receiving. We won't come chasing for more or anything like that. We just obviously want our percentage for presenting your case and what we've done with your case to the Scottish Government.
Yeah.
Okay, so with them three options being explained to yourself, Lexi, are you happy to use MMA Legal as your law firm moving forward?
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you very much for that. One last thing. I can see that Billy had put a 14-day cooling off period on your case file. What that means is, since your initial phone call with Billy, or if you was unaware of this, sorry, with your initial phone call, you have 14 days to rip up our agreements, go elsewhere, do whatever you need to do if you don't want to use ourselves. Obviously, with you saying you do want to use ourselves, we can get started on your case, but if you do need a little bit more time, I can extend that 14 days. It's entirely up to you.
No, I'm all right.
All right, not a problem. I'll get that removed for you, and we can get started. Okay, so that's everything that I need from my end today, but before I let you go, is there any questions that you want to ask me at all?
No, that's it, really.
Okay, not a problem. Well, as I said, my name's Adam, and I'm going to be your case handler. So save this number. If you've got any questions that pop into mind, feel free to give me a call. Other than that, I'll be in touch in about 4 or 5 weeks' time just to give you an update.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Not a problem, Lexi. Thank you very much for your time, and have a lovely afternoon.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye.